What causes a lack of contentment? Could it be control? Today, I want to dive into uprooting control and replacing it with a heart full of contentment. Stay with me. Hey, friend, welcome to the Shattered into Beautiful podcast. I'm Jeannie Smith. If your heart is hurting, no matter what your circumstances are, there is only one healer. Through biblical content, I will teach you how to experience whole healing and soar into great purpose. So let's get into today's show. Grab your favorite coffee, journal, and Bible. It's time to dig in and unwrap your gift. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Shattered into Beautiful podcast. This is Jeannie Smith, your host. Well, if you are joining us for the first time, welcome. I hope that you will find this podcast encouraging to your heart and your soul, and go back and listen to previous lessons for all my faithful followers and listeners. Today, we are diving into the topic of control. And so we have been on a journey of uprooting things that don't need to be in our heart and replacing it with things that are just good for us, the goodness of God. So today I want to examine control. Now, control is something that's probably impacted all of our lives. I know it's been something I've had to battle in certain seasons of my life. And for some of us, here we go, you are just a control freak. So it impacts you every day of your life. Okay, go ahead, lift up your hand if you're one of those. You just have to be in control over everything. Well, I'm not just talking to you today. I'm talking to us all. Because control raises its head to all of us. Now, what causes us to want to be in control? So I want to talk about some of those things. The absolute opposite of control is contentment. Okay? And so we're going to talk about contentment. We're going to end and focus on contentment. But first, we're going to dive into control. All right. So my question for you is this. What drives your control? What drives your control? I want you to write that down in your journal somewhere. What drives your control? Now, you may not know the answer to that. I'm going to suggest an answer. The answer is anxiety. Anxiety of, I have to control this situation, or if I control this situation, I know what the outcome will be. So you're seeking after your personal own peace. Because you know what's best in that situation, and the outcome is bringing you anxiety, but if you can control what the outcome will be, you believe that will put you on a path of peace. So if you can control the outcome, it will equal your peace. And the other thing is, we may not fully trust the outcomes, okay? So we're not trusting the outcome, and we have a better idea of what that outcome should look like and be like. So therefore, we have to keep our grip of control on the situation. Now, when I use the word anxiety, I want you to know that I'm just suggesting that your inner peace, you're in a place of tension, you're in a place of worry. These are all forms of anxiety. It's causing you not to be at a place of peace. So anxiety is the opposite of peace. Now, there are things that we absolutely can't control. And so I found this to be a very healthy exercise for myself as I was preparing for this message. And so in my journal, I began to write down things that I absolutely could not control. I cannot control what others do or how they view me. Or how they treat me. I cannot control what others believe, what they think, what they feel. Now, I had a lot to write down about what other people are doing and saying and believing and feeling. There was a long list there just about other people. We cannot control anything about other people. Therefore, we don't even need to try. We need to stay focused on ourselves. Another thing that we can't control is the economy. I know many of us get really riled up and focused in on politics and government and things of that nature. Now, we can do our part, and we should, biblically. We have to do what God calls us to do, and we should vote, right? We can handle, we can control voting. We can get in our car and go to the voting poll, and we can cast our vote, and we should, according to biblical principles. So there are some things that we can do, but there's a whole lot of things that we can't do. So we can go cast our vote, but we have no control over the outcome, and that's what I'm speaking about. We have no outcome on what happens in the government or the economy. We can do our part and vote and pray and be a voice, right? Another thing that we can't control is the weather. Natural disasters. We can't control if I wake up today and I want the sun to come out and be shiny and bright just because that's what Jeannie loves, but I can't control that if God decides, hey, today we're going to have some rain. Today my earth needs some rain. I can't control what happens to other people. I can't control their will. Oh, how we wish we could, right? I bet there's a lot of things we can look at our life, go back and look at our past, and there's a lot of things we wish we could control concerning other people. Some of us wish that we could rewrite history, but there's nothing we can do about it. We can't control the past, and here we go. We can't control the future. And so some of us live in fear and anxiety because we can't control the future. Guess what else? We cannot control the aging process. We can't control pain. There are some aspects of our health that we can control. For example, our weight. If we're unhealthy due to being overweight, we can control that, right? That's a day-to-day thing. But there are some aspects of our health that we just can't control. Many that we can, but some that we cannot. We cannot control what other people say. We cannot control the suffering in the world. Doesn't it break your heart? It breaks mine. We can't control it. We can't control our family, our generation. We can't control where we came from. We can't control who our parents were or who our parents are. We cannot control lost time. We cannot make someone love us. We cannot control the way we look, our height, our skin color. Oh, here we go. For some of my folks out there that have road rage, we cannot control the traffic. You may be listening to this podcast right now while you're driving in the most intense traffic. It's okay. You can't control it. So just be content where you are. Stopped at that red light, whatever it may be. There is a reason that you're stuck at that red light. There are some aspects of our finances that we cannot control. There's many things about our finances we can control. For example, how we spend our money that God has given us. But if we had a certain stream of income coming in, finances coming in, and then our boss decides he needs to let our role position go and we are released from our job, we couldn't control that. So there is some aspects of our finances that we can't control. We cannot control sometimes relationships because we can't control how the other person is responding to us or treating us. Sometimes we cannot control our children. Hello, we may try to, but when they get to a point they can make their own choices and they have their own will, we cannot determine that. We can hope for the best. But if they decide they want to go in a different pathway for their life than we as parents thought, or if we have a prodigal, if they decided, hey, I want to leave home. I don't really like this anymore. I want to go do my own thing. We can't control that either. We can pray and trust in the Lord and His Word that God will bring them back in His sovereign time, but that He has them on a journey as well. We can't control these things. With our health, I'm going to circle back to that. If we have been given a diagnosis, we cannot control that either. Okay, there are certain aspects of our health, as I mentioned, we can't control. And so with a diagnosis, we can stay in a place of anxiety, or we can know that God is in control and He is in control of the outcome. Right now, personally, I'm walking through some things, and of course, I don't want to, but this is the path that I'm walking in right now with my life. And you know what? I just have to trust God. I cannot control where I'm at right now. I cannot control where this situation is going to take me. But what I can do is trust God in the middle of it. Now, I'm going to jump in and just give you some signs of someone being controlling, right? And then I want you to do a self-evaluation, and I want you to realize, is that person me? And then we're going to talk about steps to break free from that, steps to uproot it out of our heart. So typically, signs of someone that is trying to control and manipulate things is someone that is trying to prove themselves. They are trying to prove to themselves and to others that they know what's best. They have the expertise in the situation, and they know what the best outcome is. Someone that is controlling is also just really quick to judge. They're unhappy if things don't go their way. By the way, if someone is unhappy all the time, they're probably a controlling person because they're never walking in contentment. This person will also criticize people nonstop. They will criticize the situation, the people involved in the situation. They don't follow directions typically very well because they want to set the game plan. They want to set the rules and the strategy. So they don't want to follow anyone else's directions or strategies. They are very concerned about the outcomes. Remember, they are walking in anxiety and trying to control the outcome because what they really, really hunger for is peace. Someone that controls typically is also a perfectionist. So if you are working for someone, you have a leader or a boss that refuses to delegate and they are a perfectionist, you will notice that their expectations are very, very hard to meet. No matter what you do, they're always putting you down instead of encouraging you and saying, hey, great job. They will micromanage. They may be full of more insults than they are encouragement. Now, not to beat up here on the leaders, because I'm a leader, so I understand. So sometimes when you have started an organization and been a part of an organization's growth for a really, really long time, there is a lot of just grit that you've put in to that company or that organization or that church or whatever it may be. For me personally, I realized some of the struggles I was having with control is that I was really concerned about the outcomes. So sometimes the intent in our heart can be really good. We just care so much. And so we become very concerned about the outcomes and then begin to think that the outcomes are only going to be good outcomes if we are part of the situation. And that's not the case. As leaders, you have to learn this. You have to grow into this. You have to ultimately trust God. So you have to trust God with those circumstances, with those outcomes. You have to trust God with the people that He's put in place. And sometimes that control can come from wounds. So there were people in place that may have caused not good outcomes. People that you may have trusted and they harmed you or they broke that trust. And so when things like that happen and we have to walk through that, we sometimes can grab a hold strongly again. We get that grip tight again, and then we have to learn to release it again. So it is a process. I'm not beating up on anyone here that struggles with control, because truly I am telling you that we all struggle with control at some point in time in our life. And that's why I'm hoping that as we look at some biblical principles now, it's going to help all of us. So if we are not in control, then who is, friends? Well, one person, God Himself. Not us, not you, not me, but God. So I want to look at Jeremiah 10, chapter 10, verse 23. It says, I know, Lord, that a person's way of life is not his own. No one who walks determines his own steps. That means we have no control. God is the one in control. Another passage of scripture I want to share right now is 1 Timothy 6:15 that says, God is the blessed controller of all things. Not some things, not one thing, all things. Here's another great one, Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. How about this one? Psalms 103:19. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Not one thing, all. How about Job 42:2? I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. So we may try to intervene and, you know, make the outcome that we want to happen, but it's going to bring harm. It's going to be destruction because nothing that the Lord has purposed and put in plan. And if He's in control over all things and we try to intervene with that, there's going to be trouble, right? Because it tells us right here in Job 42:2, I know that you, meaning God, can do all things, have purposed all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Wow. Okay. Colossians 1:16-17, for by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in all things He holds them together. Okay, how about this one? He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. That's Psalms 147:4-5. And so we could go on. There are many, many passages in the Word that shows us that God is ultimately in control of all things. So we've talked about what control is. We've talked about ways to look for control in our lives. And now I want to give you some solutions. So what are ways that Christians can let go of their control issues? Okay, we have to understand and know that how to let go of control is just simply giving up power and surrendering. And let me tell you something, friends, you are going to find freedom when you do this. You're going to find out that you are a whole lot less stressed and a whole lot more happy because you're not really giving up power. See, we hold on to control because we want to hold on to power. Now, we just read scriptures. We just did a whole lot of talking about we are not in control. This is a facade that we play in our mind. We are not ultimately in control. And so we just well let go of it and give it to the one who is, which is God. We determine that. And when we do that, we are going to walk in freedom. So you're not giving up power. You're actually gaining it. You're gaining freedom. And you are a whole lot more happy and content. And so as Christians, we have to always look to the Word, right? To look for the solutions to our problems because the Word contains all answers to our problems. So here's some ways that we can begin to, let go of control in our lives. Number one, acknowledge that we have a problem in this area, right? And then surrender to the Lord and say, okay, you know what, Lord, I've really tried to control some things and I want to give this control over to you. Give your struggle, friends, to God and let Him take control over them because He's in control anyways, right? And that requires a surrender, letting it go. God is just waiting for us to raise our white flag in all these situations and circumstances in our life because He can already see that we're not going to win on our own. Friends, hello, you're not going to win on your own. You need Him. So it's time to let go and just surrender. And then to learn about self-control. What is self-control? Well, it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And we need to get familiar with it. We need to learn how to walk in self-control. And it's an excellent mental skill, by the way. One reason many of us struggle with it is because we're not willing to surrender ourselves to God. Okay, so we're going to acknowledge our problem with control. We're going to surrender it to the Lord, and we're going to rest. We're going to rest. When you find yourself in a place of rest, it's because you have completely surrendered all outcomes to the Lord, and you fully trust Him. And that will be freeing and relaxing for you. Rest consists of you doing what spiritually, mentally, and physically relaxes you, whatever that is. But when you can kick back and enter into a place of rest, it's because you have relinquished all control. And friends, let me tell you, it's a wonderful place to be. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And I can tell you, when you're trying to control a situation, you are everything but rested. You are weary and you are burdened. But he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. And so the last thing as a Christian that we need to do is we need to rest in the ownership of that. Because if we've given our life to God, then we are no longer our own, okay? And so we have to be devoted to God and His way. We are His creation, and He knows what is best for us. And so as we do that, we're going to live a more joyful, free, and fulfilled life because we belong to God. He is our caretaker. He is our caretaker, and He loves us, and He wants what is best for us. And so we don't need to never forget that. So now that we have uprooted control from our life, let's fill that space with contentment. Okay, what causes a lack of contentment? Well, it is a mindset, because we think there is something lacking in our lives and we wish that things were different. Therefore, we find ourselves not content. Now, the biggest enemy of contentment is want. W-A-N-T. You want, you want, you want. Well, let me tell you, if we can't achieve happiness where we are and what we have and the circumstances that we're in, we're never going to be content anywhere else. And so you can think you need more or want more, but if you can't be happy and content where you are and with what you have, even when you get more, you're not going to be content in that space either. So the secret to joy and contentment is happiness right where you are, because happiness is based on circumstances. So we have to understand the differences between happiness and joy. Happiness is based on circumstances. So happiness might be me eating my Brewster's ice cream that I had last night. Well, all three of my family members were happy when we were tearing down our ice cream last night because it was good. We were enjoying the moment. It was a beautiful evening. That was based on a circumstance. It was based on the moment of that ice cream being in my hand, everyone with smiles on their faces. That is different than joy. Joy comes from Christ. Joy is based on Christ. And when we're content, we experience joy, meaning it cannot be uprooted or taken away from us because it is a foundation. It is solid. That ice cream ended. I got to the bottom of that cup. And if my happiness and contentment was based on that ice cream, it came to an end. But the joy of the Lord is our salvation. The joy of the Lord is ever flowing. It never ends. It never expires. That is where we find our joy and contentment, is in Christ and where He has us in whatever season of life that we may be in. So what is the evidence of us being filled with contentment in our life? Well, Galatians 5:22-23 speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so when we see evidence of these things in our life, we can rest assured that contentment is at work. Listen, friends, wherever you're at right now in your life, whatever circumstance you're walking through, whether it's some kind of challenge in your family, whether it's a diagnosis, struggles with your kids, a job that you wake up and go to every day, but you don't really, you know, like it, you're struggling to be there. At finances, you wish you had more in your bank account than what you have. Whatever it is, and we can make a long list of them. I don't know what that is for you. Only you and God does. But be content in those circumstances. There is a reason that you are where you are at right now in this season of your life. And rest assured, God is working things out for your good. There is a reason that you're walking through these valleys. There is a reason that you're on the mountaintops right now. There is something to learn from it, and there is a good outcome for it. So according to the Bible, contentment is a state of being satisfied, at peace, remember those fruits of spirit, and emotionally being fulfilled with what one has or the circumstances in which one finds himself in, right? It's an attitude of the heart and the mind, and it's not dependent on people, external possessions, wealth, circumstances. None of those things matter in this case. Contentment is only found in Christ. Remember, that's where your joy is. So let's look at some Bible verses. Now, I want to look at Apostle Paul first, because, by the way, the book of Philippians, the entire book of Philippians, is on joy. It's only 4 chapters. I encourage you to dive in and read it, because it's all about that state of joy. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians. It helps us understand that the true contentment includes the ability to accept and find peace in your current circumstances, right? Even when they're challenging, because we all have challenging times. But the Apostle Paul says this. Okay, here's what Paul says, beginning in verse 11. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content. I love that word, learned. We're learning here, friends. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself in. Verse 12, I know how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned, there it is again, learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. And then, I'm just going to add this as a bonus, verse 13, I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Love that scripture. Don't you find that beautiful and interesting that Paul would put that scripture right behind talking about being content? That it is Him that does all things. I am able to do all things because of Him in us. We're able to walk through every situation and be content because He is our strength. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 7 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Look at that. So you work all your life or work hard and strive after getting these things you think you want more, but then you get all of it. It doesn't matter. You're not taking any of it with you. And so what you've done is you've disturbed your peace all along the way because you wanted more. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Money comes and goes, friends, but God is ever present, never changing, always present. And one last scripture I'm going to share with you is one of my favorite. This is our family verse that we keep in our home, in our hearts. Matthew 6:33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All other things will be given to you as well. So whatever it is that the Lord wants you to have, He will give it to you when you seek first Him and His kingdom. And the reason that is so important is because we have got to keep our focus on the right things, and that is Him and His kingdom, so that when He gives us, if He chooses to, blessing, more blessing, we will be aligned with Him and His Spirit and His kingdom, and we will do with that blessing what is needed and necessary for Him and His kingdom. So friends, as we close today, just know that peace equals the release of control. If you want to have peace, release your control. Peace equals contentment, and contentment is found in the Word. Lord, help us today to just release this control and to trust You and walk in full contentment. Fill our hearts, Lord, with contentment and peace. Fill our hearts with Your Word, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Friends, I love you bunches. I hope you have a wonderful week, and remember, live life abundantly.
If you like Mommy's show, leave a review.
Hey, before you go, if this podcast has blessed you, the number one way you can help me is to leave a review and subscribe to the Shattered Into Beautiful show. Next, hop on over to the Shattered Into Beautiful private Facebook group where you will find a network of friends with daily inspiration. You can reach me at jeanniescottsmith.com. And lastly, please share the episode or review in your social and tag me at Smith Evangelistic Ministries. I cannot wait to meet with you again. Stay tuned for more life-giving podcasts coming your way.